Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 245. And our guest today is Tim from the Netherlands. And Tim brings a dream for us to interpret and relate to her life. And if you haven't listened to The Dream Show before, then you probably need to know that the formula is that somebody volunteers, in this case Tim, to bring a dream to the show. We set the date, we work everything out, but I ask to hear nothing about the dream, to know nothing about the dream until the moment we press the record button. So you experience that along with me, Tim reading out the dream, I rapidly trying to write it down, and then we work through the dream and relate it to her life. And as you'll hear, we definitely get there. It takes a little bit of a while to begin at the beginning to really orientate, and then it all falls into place, and then we go back to the beginning and we can see how accurately the whole thing really reflected what was going on in her life at the time and opens things up for Tim considerably. So I hope you'll enjoy that. Of course, I know all about that because we've just finished recording that section and I'm just here at the beginning, adding the beginning of the show. So I did mention there just before we start that when we've got a guest on show, I'm rapidly writing down notes about the dream. And if you consult me privately without the rest of the world listening in on a podcast, I used to do that. I used to take notes while you were talking to me. But these days I ask you if you consult me privately to actually send me the dream in advance so I get to look at it and review it and have a really good think about it before we start talking. So your experience, if you consult me privately, is slightly differently to what you experience on the Dream Show because I have already previewed the dream, but otherwise it's very, very similar in the sense that I lead you through and ask you questions and I point out things and you respond and we work through the dream as a kind of working together process. I do have another system where I can provide you as a service point of view with an overview interpretation of a dream by email. And obviously that doesn't involve this question and answering and working together on a dream. But I've been in this this business for so long now, nearly 30 years, that I am able to look at a dream and put a pretty accurate overview on the basic details of what you need to know and how it relates to your life together. So that's something else you may want to look at. And that service is called The Big Picture because it's me giving you the big picture overview of your interpretation, which is not what we're doing today in the Dream Show. We're looking at the big picture, but we're also going in very, very deep and looking at all the details. So before we go there, just a reminder of the websites. There's janeteresa.com, that's Teresa without an H, and that's where you go to listen to every episode of The Dream Show that's ever been, although you can also listen to those on all the normal podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, etc. janeteresa.com is also where you go to read all the blogs that I've been writing for the past 11 or 12 years, I think. And it's also the place where you go to find out about how I can help you in services. And it's also the place where you go to find out about my online learning courses. And you can also go directly to the online learning platform, the Dream Academy. And the address for that is dream-academy-online.com, where you can sign up and instantly have access to courses there that help you to interpret your dreams and other courses as well. But for now, let's get on with Tim and her dream. Welcome to the Dream Show, Tim.
Thanks, and thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Now, to give our people who are listening an idea of where you are, where are you at the moment?
I'm in Hellevoetsluis, which is in the Netherlands, close to Rotterdam.
Ah, fantastic. So I'm glad that I didn't have to pronounce that first place myself. But it sounds exotic and very beautiful.
It is beautiful, but it's quite cold, actually.
It's meant to be summer where you are, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's not all that bad, but Dutch summers are a bit like Canadian summers.
Oh, okay.
Not much of a summer.
Not much of a summer. Not much to write home about. Okay, as usual, I have no idea what dream anybody brings, so would you like to tell me your dream?
Yes, I'll give it a go. I'm standing on the schoolyard, and it's a cloudy day, and I'm standing with my back to the school building, And on my right side is a shelter, and there are some people beneath it, underneath it. And I think we're all the same age. I don't know if we're students, because I just didn't wonder about it. And there are trees also on the right side, and they're leafless. And there is this shaking of the ground twice, slightly. And I'm really excited about it, because I'm thinking this is an earthquake really far away, and this is just a residue. But those people are really scared, and they say it's a pending earthquake. And I get really irritated. So I'm like, are you nuts? I mean, we live here. We don't get earthquakes. And then there's an explosion on my right, on the left side. And this is something comes crashing through either a wall or a hedge. I haven't looked beforehand, so it's either one of those or maybe a combination. And this is a cart, a fair park ride cart. It's one of those things that seats 8 to 10 people beside each other. And then it's pulled up into the air, and it's a free falling ride.
Oh my goodness.
One of those awful... Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly my point. But this explosion and this thing coming through really scares me. And at that moment, I realized this earthquake could actually be happening soon. Then there's a male voice over an intercom that says we have to go into the building. And those people on my right side go. They run to the building. And I'm panicking. I'm screaming at them, don't go, because you mustn't be in a building when there's an earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't listen, and in the end, I just follow them. Then it turns out, I can't remember being in the building, but funnily enough, it turns out we're not supposed to go in but through the building. And at the front, there are buses coming our way to evacuate us. I believe I saw 3 in total. And the first one is crowding up already, and I'm going towards it. It's standing still. The other two are still on their way to us. And I go to the first bus and I think to myself, let's be really smart about this. Let's take the second bus because no one's going there. So it'll be empty, you know. So I go that way. And then I think, oh, let's even be smarter. And I go to the third bus. And then the dream ends and I didn't catch any bus.
You didn't catch any bus.
No.
Was that because you woke up before the dream ended? Or was there a sense in the dream of, oh, where's the third bus or what happened there?
I did see all 3 buses, and I believe I, from what I remember, the first bus was standing still, and the second was slow, driving slowly, and the third one was also driving slowly, but less slowly, and they were in the same lane, so they were behind each other.
Hmm.
All I remember is walking up and down beside those buses.
So you couldn't get on the bus because they were the second and third bus were still moving, albeit slowly?
Well, after I wrote it, I think I wrote down that I just ended up not catching... let me see how I wrote it. End of the story was I wasn't able to catch a bus.
Just not able. And do you have any feeling how you felt about that at the end of the dream, that you weren't able to catch a bus?
What I remember distinctively was right beforehand feeling like a real smart aleck. Let's outsmart everyone and take the second bus. I'm not sure. I think at the time I woke up, I was still not convinced. I wasn't able to. So I was just still trying.
Yeah, still trying. The idea, the plan of being a smart aleck was still the smart plan at that stage.
It kind of withered away, feeling so smart.
Oh, so you weren't feeling so smart. But you didn't know whether you thought you still might be able to catch a bus. Yeah.
I think there was a bit of frustration, actually. Mm. But it's really hard to catch that feeling again.
Mm. Yeah.
I think I must have felt that, yeah.
Okay, so did you get the feeling at the end of the dream that while you were waiting for the third bus or whatever, that there might still be a quake coming, or that you'd already... that had been and gone and you were being evacuated?
It was completely out of my mind.
You've forgotten.
Only focused on catching a bus.
That's interesting.
It's interesting. Yeah, yeah. I've never thought about that.
Only focused on catching the bus and being a smart aleck. I'm just writing that down in your own words. How long ago was the dream, Tim?
I woke up on the 21st of April of this year.
21st of April. So we're recording this May, June, about 2 months later. So as we go through the dream, for everybody listening, because the dream reflects the day or two before the dream and then reaches back into the past for similar experiences, we're really asking you to think back to that time and what was happening at that time as we go through this dream.
Okay.
Yeah. So it begins in the schoolyard. Was it a generalised schoolyard, or was it similar to the school that you went to or anybody else that you know goes to?
Long after this dream, I thought to myself, it kind of vaguely, well, the building itself, not the schoolyard, vaguely reminded me of one of the high schools I went to, which was an adult education. But well, it's really vague. It was a really gloomy building from the 30s with dark red bricks.
Mm. So it was a gloomy building in actuality, that high school, or in the dream?
That's a good question. I realise I'm using gloomy a lot.
Mm, you are, aren't you?
To describe this, yeah. When it didn't even feel that gloomy at the time in the dream.
You also thought it was cloudy. The schoolyard was cloudy as well.
Very much so, yes.
Mm. So the high school that it reminded you of, that you went to,
yeah.
What age were you when you were at that high school?
This was after having done a lot of other things. I was 21.
You were 21. So because this schoolyard reminds you of the school that you were at when you were 21, it's possible that the dream may be looking back to things that were happening when you were 21 that seem resonant with what was happening for you at the time of this dream. But that may also not be true as we work through it. It may just be that the building itself seemed symbolically like a really good symbol for your dreamy mind to bring up to represent this kind of gloomy, cloudy feeling that the dream was going to go on and look at.
Okay.
But you were in a school yard, not the school. What was happening in the school yard in the dream?
Like I mentioned, I had my back to the school building, so it wasn't until later that I saw it. On my right side were those people, and the first thing I remember was the ground shaking twice, and I really enjoyed that. I thought it was exciting and fun.
Yeah. So the focus wasn't on the school or even on the schoolyard. The initial focus was on the shaking and the excitement.
Yes.
Yeah. And did I hear correctly when you said to the right there was a shelter and there were people underneath it, did you say naked or did you say something else?
I did not say naked.
What did you say?
Dream.
Yeah.
There were trees without leaves.
Oh, there were trees without leaves. They were leafless.
Yeah.
Okay.
Leafless, yeah.
Mm. And what feeling did that give you in the dream, the fact that the trees were leafless?
Well, actually, because we had such a cold spring, to me it felt like it was just an actuality.
Right.
It didn't seem different from daylight because it was really still cold and not many leaves around.
Mm.
But I, like I said, I mean, I used gloomy a lot, but I didn't feel gloomy.
No, you were quite the opposite. You were excited about the shaking.
Yes.
Yes. But you see, you had the schoolyard was cloudy, you're using the word gloomy, but you did have your back to the school. So there was a sense of putting something behind you or not looking at it. You know, if you put your back to someone, it's often that you're blocking them out or you're not looking in that direction. So one possibility is that, yes, there was a cloudy, gloomy kind of feeling here, but you were blocking that out, you were putting your back to it. And in fact, even when that gloomy situation or that cloudy situation turned into something that would frighten most people and frighten the rest of the people in the dream, like a potential earthquake, you're like, no, that's not gloomy, that's not scary, that's not frightening, that's actually really exciting.
Yes, That's true.
There's a bit of positive reframing going on here, isn't there?
Yeah, but the funny thing is we actually don't get earthquakes down here, and we've had such tiny residues from distant earthquakes every now and then, and that actually, to me, they're actually funny. So I guess I fool myself that way. In a dream.
Well, in the dream, yes, because in waking life, when there's a residue from an earthquake of a place further away from you, do you actually get excited about that?
Oh, well, yeah, I think it's funny. Well, not to them, but yeah.
So there is.
It feels that funny.
Yeah.
Because I know it's safe.
Because you know you're safe. So it's a way of saying it may not be safe somewhere else, but I feel safe here at the moment.
Yes.
Yeah. But nevertheless, there's also a sense there of positive reframing as well, isn't there? This is exciting. As you say, something that's happening somewhere else, which might be devastating for people, i.e. an earthquake. I find that quite exciting because I'm not thinking about them. I'm just thinking about me and I'm safe.
Yes, well, when you said positive reframing, that actually kind of rang a bell. Yes. That fell true.
Do you do a lot of positive reframing?
I do my best. I try to live through all the negative emotions to let them go. But I have a tendency to work really, really hard to stay on the positive side. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Positive reframing is a really brilliant thing to do. But as you said, you have also got to acknowledge the negative feelings first. You know, if you don't look at the negative, if you don't look at the difficult feelings in life and you just constantly make them positive, reframe them, da-da-da-da-da, what you're doing is not addressing or acknowledging the more difficult stuff. So would you say there's times when you maybe don't look at the more difficult stuff and shoot too quickly to positive reframing?
Actually, I have a feeling that it's very hard for me to feel. I can feel negative emotions, but when I want to really go through them, they're kind of evasive. So I guess I'm doing it subconsciously, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. There may be a, given whatever happened in your past, a survival tactic within you to not look too closely or not really want to feel difficult emotions and to shoot rather quickly to positive reframing.
I think that could be true, yeah.
So let's go with that we've got this feeling that somewhere deep in your unconscious mind is going, no, there's something that could be pretty scary around here. There's an earthquake, things are changing, things that would normally scare people, but you're not getting scared, you're going straight to positive reframe. And yet there are all the other people in the dream. And coming from the perspective that everyone and everything in the dream represents something about the dreamer, it's like there's all these other parts of Tim that are not into positive reframe that are going, this is an earthquake.
Yeah, you kind of wanted to run.
Yeah, you're outnumbered there, so you must be doing an incredibly good job at this positive reframing.
I wish it wasn't.
No, I know, but it fits with having your back to the school there too. If before going on with the dream at all, we just flick back slightly to the fact that the schoolyard reminded you of a high school that you were at when you were 21. Mm-hmm. Was that a time when life was particularly difficult for you?
I had a fallout with my best friend. It was 1 year I went there, and we'd been friends since we were, I don't know, 5 years old. So that was harsh, yeah?
Yeah. And although it might be difficult for you to put a name on that feeling, at the time when you were 21, what word would you have put on that emotion that came out of that falling out?
Well, it doesn't suit the emotion, but the first thing that comes to mind is unfair. But emotionally, I'd say powerless. Angry and powerless.
Powerless and angry. Powerless and angry because something's unfair. So because the schoolyard in the dream reminded you of that school, it's possible that what was happening for you at the time of the dream was that there was a feeling of being, there was an unfair situation, a situation which felt very unfair to you, that was bringing up feelings of powerlessness and anger that you were trying to turn your back to and put a positive reframe on.
Mm. I'm blacking out. Could you maybe say that again?
Yeah, of course. It's possible that that the same emotion that you associate with that school could be the emotion that was coming up at the time of the dream. So in other words, a situation at the time of the dream that felt to you unfair, that was bringing up feelings of powerlessness and anger. Now, it might be wrong, but it also might be difficult for you to touch it because you are into positive reframe and find it difficult to connect with the difficult emotion. So if I shorten that to say, can you remember at the time of the dream whether you were feeling that life was unfair in any way?
Well, I remember one thing, but I don't know if that was afterwards or beforehand or when. Not in the 2 days before this dream, I believe, no. Mm,
okay. So it may have been something that was rumbling away in the distance and quaking and hadn't yet really, that you, on an unconscious level, you were maybe aware that there's something that feels unfair, but I haven't really got in touch with it yet. But it came up for you shortly after the dream?
The situation I'm speaking of is, I don't know exactly when. I could look it up, probably. I have my diary here.
Okay.
No, that was in March, a month before. That was the 18th of March.
Okay, so it was a month before. So this was a month later.
Yeah, I don't think it was this one.
So you'd already reframed the unfair situation by the time of this dream?
Probably, knowing me.
Can you remember at the time of the dream what you'd reframed it into, how you were looking at it?
Maybe it's easier if I tell the situation.
Yes.
I went for a walk and there were three children, about, I don't know, 14 maybe. And there was this man who was bullying them, in my opinion. And I didn't know the whole story, but as I was passing by, I heard him say that they were bullying smaller children, and he didn't listen to the story, he just told them to go away. Mm. And they went the same way I did, and I heard them speak to each other, and they were talking about how unfair it was that they weren't bullying. And I got really upset with this man who just not wanted to listen to them at all. Mm. We just thrown his weight and said, you have to go.
Mm.
But this was a month earlier.
It was a month earlier, and you doesn't sound like you reframed that in any way.
No,
that's
really
too hard.
Mad at him.
Yeah, so you're very mad, but that madness and anger wasn't still around you at the time of the dream.
No, I don't think so.
Mm. Although it's interesting, there were three children and there were three buses at the end of the dream.
Hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll move on a little bit anyway. So the sense in the dream was that other people in the dream, you were excited, but other people in the dream, you were excited because you were feeling the residue of something that had happened elsewhere. So again, I don't want to push this in case I'm on the wrong end of the interpretation here, but a residue implies something remaining after something has happened somewhere else or some time ago. So it's possible that there was a residue from this unfair situation, a residue within you of a feeling of powerlessness or anger that was actually still with you. It was a residue?
That's possible, yeah.
Mm.
But why then twice? The shaking of the earth.
Yes, that's a good question. So if we come back to that, there's a sense of at the time of the dream, there were two feelings of danger, but danger at a distance, which actually had you feeling quite excited.
Yes.
And everybody else, the other parts of you interpreted it as pending, as danger.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't, you reframed it quickly. So then again, if we go back to the time of the dream, were there two situations that you felt that could have been potentially explosive, but you quickly reframed?
Ooh. What a trouble is, I had done a little thinking beforehand because I kind of thought I knew what you were going to ask. And I had answers, but they don't fit anymore.
Would you like to say what you found?
Yes. The day before this dream, I had been working with the Bates method for about 10 days, and the Bates technique is a method to bring back your original vision. I have myopia and I want my sight back, basically.
Mm.
And it said it's possible, and there are all these exercises, which you shouldn't call exercises, but I do anyway. And I have been doing them on and off for years, and I always keep stopping, even though I really want it. And the day before the stream, I went for a walk, and actually, what I'm about to tell happened when I was standing exactly at the same spot this man was bullying those children.
Ah.
I went past a parking lot, and there was a truck in the distance. And I know this truck, it's always there, and I know exactly what it says, but I couldn't read it. But I tried, and I was like, okay, stay relaxed, it's going to be good. If it's not happening today, it'll happen one day. And I was just looking and not being able to read it. And as I turned my head to continue my walk, in a flash, I could see it.
Mm.
I just had a clear vision for a second. So to me, that felt like a breakthrough.
Absolutely.
And the next day, which is after this dream, in general, I saw worse than I did the whole day before. I mean, clear vision aside, my whole vision had deteriorated.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I kind of connected those two.
Yeah, so two shake-ups, one that felt that things were moving in the right direction and one that felt that they were moving in exactly the wrong direction.
Well, those two shake-ups actually reminded me of, because I was thinking, what else is within this experience that has changed and feels light but okay? And that was, firstly, I stopped having dry eyes at night.
Mm.
And secondly, when I'm really, really tired, I get a little cross-eyed, and that stopped from happening also.
Mm.
So to me, those were the two shakes of the ground. Well, that's what I thought.
In a positive direction.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
But interestingly, as you say, that's fantastic. But interestingly, as you say, that happened that day that you saw the truck clearly for an instant, happened in exactly the same spot as you'd seen the man bullying the children.
Yes, and I hadn't brought those two together yet.
Mm.
So this is the first I'm realizing that.
Mm. And that's the role that the unconscious mind plays, of course, that, you know, we go about our daily life and we have our conscious experiences, and your conscious experience at that spot was absolutely fantastic because you were beginning to see a breakthrough from your myopia exercises and you saw the truck clearly for a moment, and that was what your conscious mind was excited about and what your dream was maybe processing at one level. But then your unconscious mind was going, well, that's exciting, but actually this is also the place where that bullying happened and you felt powerless and angry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And right there we have the two different emotions. We have the earthquake feeling, that the scary feeling of the powerlessness and the anger, and we have the excitement of being able to read the truck's number and see the truck. We have those two emotions together.
Yes.
So
yes, that's all true.
Yeah. So like the feeling, the residue in the dream, it's almost like while you were there and experiencing that exciting thing, part of you was also perhaps unconsciously noting the residue of that unresolved situation with the three children and you feeling powerless and angry.
Mm. Yes.
And the two things may have come together. Before we progress, I'm really, just as a slight aside, really interested in the myopia here. Speaking as a myopic person myself, I've worn glasses since I was 5. I'm short-sighted. But that said, you know, at the beginning, whole beginning of the dream was what you're not seeing, turning your back to the school, not looking, preferring to positively reframe, not looking at the dark side or the negative emotions. And short-sightedness is also what we don't see. We can see things up close, but things further away, that's challenging. So there's even playing right into your challenges at the moment with trying to overcome myopia and see further and see more of life in actuality at a deeper level is also maybe seeing more about myself unconsciously, seeing more about my negative emotions I don't want to look at, whatever, you know, what it's opening up the whole thing about how deeply do I want to see and what don't I want to see, what do I want to feel and what don't I want to feel. And so when you had that really beautiful experience of being able to see that truck, part of you was going, yeah, but, you know, you didn't want to see what happened with the bullies, or it made you angry when you did, or, you know, something along those lines. The two things somehow locked together.
Yes. And short answer.
Yeah. And also taking you back to at the high school age 21, where you felt the same kind of thing over your friendship breaking up, unfair, powerless and angry.
Yeah. Yes. Mm. Also.
So your poor little unconscious mind was having, or dreamy mind that night was having a lot to deal with. It was trying to process the excitement of the breakthrough with the myopia, even though the next day you didn't see as well. And it was also trying to process the fact that you'd been standing in this position before where you'd felt powerless and angry, and it was trying to somehow wrap the two together and get something out of this.
It didn't work very well.
It didn't, because you didn't get the bus, did you? Trying to be a smart aleck, weren't you?
So, I was thinking later, I was somehow, to me, it was like the earthquake where all the emotions I actually had to go through. Mm-hmm. So after I woke up and thinking back, I thought it's a good thing I didn't catch the bus. But I could be wrong. I have no idea.
It's a good thing you didn't catch the bus because you had to stay there and confront the emotions and the potential quake, you mean?
That's what I... Yeah, I
like that. I really like... And well done on thinking that, because that kind of works, the smart aleck, as you called yourself, or goes along with positive reframing. Positive reframing is a really good thing to do. I have to reiterate, I know I've already said it, but you do it after you've looked at and faced the negative stuff. You don't do it straight away without looking at the negative stuff. So what you're saying there is the smart aleck bit, not following through on that, actually left you in a position where you had to stay and confront the earthquake or confront the difficult feelings. So although you felt frustrated, it was in that sense perhaps a good ending to the dream.
Yeah.
So what happened in the middle of the dream was there was the explosion. So it wasn't the earthquake, there was another explosion. It was the thing that was pending actually did explode. And let's remember, just step back slightly, we're talking about that bullying feeling again, powerlessness and angry with the guy and also with your friends when you were 21. And anger is something that does explode. So this feeling of something exploding in the dream, there's an earthquake in the distance, something's coming, my anger is coming, it's going to explode now, was facing some of this stuff. And it crashes through. Yes, your anger.
Oh, wow.
It actually, despite the attempts at positive reframing, it actually bursts through in this dream, I feel.
Yeah, that could be. And all I remember is that it really frightened me.
It really frightened
you. It took me by surprise, yeah.
Yeah, and took you by surprise. When you look back to your friend at age 21 at school, did that frighten you and take you by surprise?
Well, honestly, I just wanted to wring her neck.
Yeah, so you were really...
Back then I could very easily get very angry.
Mm.
I had enough self-control, I wasn't fighting or anything, but I would let him know.
Yeah. And now you feel the anger like with a bullying man, but you're unsure about how to handle it.
Well, I felt it was too late, because when I heard those kids talk, I thought, this is all wrong. And by then it was too late.
It was too late, but the anger was still there.
Yes.
Yeah, and the sense of powerlessness. And so for some reason, anyway, this explosion comes out in the dream as some anger within you. And I suspect it was the residue of the earthquake, meaning the residue of what happened with that man. And also the residue of what happened when you were 21, that exploding, which is a good thing, Tim. It actually coming out in the dream, like, here is my anger. It's exploding here. I've got to confront this. It crashes through. And look what shape it's in. It's in the shape of a fair park ride. that sits
an awful one.
Yeah, the terrible one, free falling. Have you ever been in one of those?
No. I could never. So it's not that I think I should want to, but I don't know.
No. I'm with you on that one. So if you picture that sense of free falling, the utter sheer terror of it, although I know there's people listening in and go, oh, no, that's really exciting. It's not exciting for me. It's not exciting for you. That free falling feeling at the time of the dream, or at the time of the anger with when you wanted to throttle your friend's neck when she was 20, when you were 21, for example, that free falling feeling, what does that sense, what does that feeling bring up for you?
Well, as we're talking about, I can actually feel it in my stomach. How does it feel? Out of control.
Yes.
No say in the matter.
Out of control, no say in the matter.
And it's like, it's also a bit like someone's pushing me from behind, pushing me in the back. To the front, I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. Pushing you from the back, particularly because in the dream you had your back to the school. Back to something. So that pushing you from behind can be as simple as your unconscious mind or emotions or anger that you haven't looked at that still push you through life. You know, no matter how many times you positively reframe, there's something pushing you because that's how the unconscious mind works. It takes over. You know, we think we have control with our conscious mind, but no. It's the unconscious mind that's got the power. And it can push us and make us do things and take decisions and respond to things in different ways to how our conscious mind would advise us. So that pushing from behind, maybe you're feeling the energy, the building up of the earthquake energy, the anger, the whatever it is that pushes you. And if we then think back to when you were 21, was there a sense of being pushed around then?
Yeah, I guess, because I thought she was being unfair. She just shoved me out.
Yeah, literally shoved you out.
No, she shut me out.
Oh, shut you out,
she
sorry.
I had done something, supposedly. I don't know what I did, but...
Mm-hmm.
And that was the end of it, so... To me, that was just unfair.
Unfair and left you feeling angry, powerlessness, and free falling. Yes. No say in the matter.
I think about the free falling is maybe also the fear of letting go of my self-control.
Yes.
Just going wild, going berserk or something.
Yeah, fear of letting go of my self-control.
Yeah. I'm not sure, but...
No, that makes perfect sense, Tim. It makes perfect sense, particularly if you have found it difficult to confront some emotions. You know, the way that we deal with that can be A, by positive reframing, and can be B, by just trying to keep a sense of control, particularly around anger. You know, I will not throttle you. I will hold on to this. I will try to maintain my sense of control. Yes. And yet sometimes in really facing a feeling, of course we don't want to go and throttle someone, but we may need to let go of the control a bit to feel what it is that we need to feel in order to let it go.
Yes.
Yeah. So in the dream, there's a sense of there's the explosion. Some part of me, some anger or something explodes in the dream, and I really feel it in the dream. But by the same token, it gives me that awful free-falling feeling. This is what would happen if I let go of control. I don't want to let go of control. I'm really scared. But look, it's happened, at least unconsciously. I have let this thing happen.
And then I ran.
And then you ran, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and part of you heard the voice which said, get into the school, into the building, and you very sensibly said that's not what you do during an earthquake, but you followed them anyway, and then you discovered that there was sense in the plan. You were actually going through the building in order to be evacuated.
Yes.
So to some extent, you had actually experienced the emotion in the dream because of the explosion. You had actually faced it, and yet, as you say, there's the question, did you face it enough? Were you running from it? Was it time to evacuate, or should you stay and find out a bit more about this anger, find out where it's coming from, look underneath the anger, investigate it further?
Well, because I was convinced there was going to be an earthquake, to me it felt like I ran too soon.
You went too soon, yes. Yeah. If, in sort of much more symbolic terms, rather than thinking of an actual earthquake and the devastation that that occurs in a geographical sense, if we think of an earthquake as the very earth beneath my feet is shaking and trembling, or potentially shaking and trembling, and what that will mean is that the earth beneath my feet will change and become something different. Buildings will fall. Then change that to what I stand on, my understanding, the ground underneath me. My understanding is potentially shifting and changing. The buildings, the beliefs that I've got, the thoughts that I have about life are potentially going to crumble. How do I feel about this change?
It feels really insecure because I've no idea what's going to come in its place.
So I'm just writing down that it feels insecure. Change feels insecure. I've no idea what will come in its place. And then I'll go back to the time that you had the dream and say, do you feel on any level there was something happening in your life which felt like the distant rumblings of potential change that that left you feeling very insecure with no idea about what would come in its place?
Yes, and that's, again, with the Bates method, that I realize there's a lot of emotion connected to my first need for glasses.
Tell me more.
A lot. Oh yeah. I needed glasses right after I had a traffic accident. I was hit by a van and ran over by it. And during the time I had my leg in a cast, my drunk alcoholic stepfather fell asleep with a burning cigarette. So the floor I was sleeping on, well, the first floor I was sleeping on was actually full of smoke when I woke up, but I couldn't get away because I had my leg in a cast. And those two events were pretty close together, and not long after that I needed glasses.
Whoa.
So I probably didn't want to look at all that was going on. I couldn't, because I was six.
And you didn't want to look at all that was going on, so you needed glasses, became myopic.
That's my take on it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good take on it. Do you feel that you've addressed that to any great level yet?
No, I'm really afraid of it. But I can't access it either. I mean, if I think back at it, I the traffic accident, I remember only things from after. I don't remember the actual hit.
Yes.
I don't remember beforehand. My sister was... had just turned 9 at the time, and she remembers beforehand. I don't. And what's interesting, I very recently asked my sister, who was 9 at the time, even though I knew the answer, I said to her, was there anyone at all back then who at one point sat you down and said, you must really be frightened. You probably thought your sister was going to die. And she laughed at me. She said, are you kidding me? Because that's not the family we grew up in. And I knew that, but also made me realize that there wasn't much room for the kids to have to just go through traumas. So I guess I just stored all that.
Yes.
Somewhere in a cupboard and locked the door.
Locked the door and decided not to see it. Not to look at it. So that was the family upbringing, was not to look at difficult stuff.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That makes a lot of sense. And do you mind if I ask, in the traffic accident, was it a truck?
It was a van.
It was a van, because I'm just...
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Van,
so
yeah.
For people that maybe not as fast as you and I, Tim, that are listening at the moment, that takes us back to the couple of days before the dream where you were in the situation where you looked at the truck. And you could suddenly, for a moment, you could see it.
Yes.
And then the next day, you actually went in the opposite direction and you could see worse It had deteriorated beyond. So there's a does seem to be a connection there, doesn't there, between seeing the truck and not seeing the truck.
I haven't even told you what the work was I could read. That was in a truck. It was driving school.
It was a driving school?
Which was exactly what the driver who hit me needed.
Yes.
A few more driving lessons.
He did. And you were, and your dream started at a schoolyard as well.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So we just take that back slightly, just to review that bit. As you said, when I said to you at the time of the dream, how would you respond to that thought that there's potential change in my life, and I'm scared of that because I've no idea what would take its place? And you related that to being scared at some level about learning to see more clearly because you no idea what will happen in its place, which could be that you will see more clearly emotions and things that you've been working hard on not wanting to see.
Yes. Yeah, I'm afraid that as I go through learning how to see again, it will, I can't avoid the emotions anymore.
Yeah.
Which I consciously think is a good thing, but subconsciously, apparently, I'm really scared.
Yes. You've been through such tough stuff, you know, even from just what you've shared today, that, yeah, there's difficult stuff to go and look at, but it does sound, despite what you're saying to us, that you have actually been investigating and trying to get in contact with some of these feelings. You haven't actually turned your back on everything, have you?
No, that's true, yeah.
Mm. So you've been there, you have come some distance. If you could just go a little more.
Somehow I've convinced myself that this is a real tricky part. So I don't know why. I don't know why this would be worse than other things I've worked through.
Getting to see again more clearly. Yeah, because deep down your unconscious mind is saying it's not just about being able to see across the room, it's about being able to see stuff that you've tried to block out your entire life, or at least since you were six and had the accident.
Well, to me, the fact is that my childhood upbringing was really unsafe, but that's a fact, and I haven't been able to feel it yet.
Mm.
And I'm really scared to go there again,
which
I think is necessary to make progress.
Unfortunately, it is, and that's, you know, the very tricky thing. We do have to go back to look at some of the really tough stuff that we haven't dealt with. But the positive reframing of that is that we don't have to go back for too long. You know, the moment that you are actually willing to, okay, all right, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna really look. I'm not gonna look with one eye or look out the corner of my eye or put my back to it and look over my shoulder. I'm actually gonna look and open myself to feeling this. Then once you've felt it, it doesn't have to be for that long. It's enough to then let it go. It's as if in order to release something, you have to feel it. It wants, I'll put different words on it. The emotion wants to be acknowledged. Oh, so you do admit that you felt that, okay, I can go now. Whereas if you don't really look at it, it's going to go, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to make you feel me. I'm going to push you around because you're not listening to me. You're not feeling me. Hello. So it's not, of course, it's very difficult and traumatic going back to look at traumatic emotions, but I'm suggesting that it's not for long. It's not like you're opening a can of worms and you're going to be sitting there for weeks on end, because you're not. We're maybe talking hours.
That's feasible.
Yeah, and they're not trying to do a quick positive reframe, just I'm open to really crying. I'm open to feeling this in my stomach. I'm open to feeling like it's a free-falling ride, scary as that would be. I'm open to it feeling like something crashing through the bushes. But I know that I am safe because it's only me and it's all past stuff. It's in the past. It's not happening now. I'm safe to go and really feel that so that I can let it go. I don't have to try to hide it. I don't have to try to positively reframe it. And all I'm really doing is putting a blindfold on. I just have to go back and say, it's in the past. I can't change it. I can change how I feel about it, absolutely, and that's a good thing. But I do have to go back and acknowledge it and let it go.
Okay.
And not be such a smart aleck.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
and not catch the third bus. to stay with it. So, you know, it's really tough, but you have been through a lot of toughness, so it's not going to be as tough as what you've already been through.
Okay. Well, because that's good.
This is a revisit, not reliving. No, exactly, that's right. Yeah, it may feel like reliving, but it's actually not.
Okay.
And you know, one of the benefits may be, who knows, that your exercises over the myopia may then deliver, but at the moment they may be making a step forward, a step backwards, because unconsciously you're not really ready to symbolically see more clearly, see further.
Yeah, that's actually what I thought too, yeah.
Mm. So we've come quite a long way with the dream, because at the beginning you weren't sure about what it related to, but we've kind of joined all the dots now, haven't we?
Yeah, I was really taken by what you said about the anger and powerlessness, because I hadn't even put those in yet.
No.
That was a surprise.
Mm.
A good one.
A good one. Because once you let anger go, then it's gone. Once you let powerlessness go, what do you think appears in its place?
Steadiness, emotional steadiness.
Yeah.
Calm.
And calm. So when you've got emotional steadiness and calm, you definitely don't have free fall, do you?
No. And when you've got
no need, exactly. When you've got emotional steadiness and calm, you can relinquish that fear of letting go of control, which you mentioned before, because there'd be no need to be in control anymore. Things will be steady.
Yeah, and that's good, because there's a lot of tension that could be gone then.
Yeah. And that's really lovely that you say that. You know, you're acknowledging that sometimes in turning our backs on things we don't want to look at, and we all do it, it results in so much tension that we're carrying around all day, weeks, months, years, that, you know, that maybe it's harder to do that, to go back and look at the thing and let it all go.
Yeah, well, I'm actually looking forward to it now.
Yeah, that's good. So in dream alchemy terms, what are we going to do here? Let me have a little think. I'm only joking with this. I'm absolutely not serious, but I have to say it. You know, you could always go and take one of those free-falling rides on the fairground. But I'm not going to give you that. But I have just noticed in that that's the fairground. You mentioned the carts from the fairground, the fair park ride, the fair. And this whole dream has been about what's been unfair.
Yeah, that's true.
The crashing of what's been, what should have been a fair ground. Oh, and ground, explosions, earthquakes. What should be fair ground has become unfair, shaking, earthquakey ground.
Yes.
So, dream alchemy wise, let me have a think about this. Unless anything, if something jumps to you that you get excited about, let me know.
I had come up with a tiny visualization, but it yes. didn't work at all. I had to abandon it after 2 days because I was getting miserable all day.
Okay, you were getting gloomy. What were you doing?
I had a swing attached to the clouds, and I let the earthquake happen, which brought up a lot of emotions. And then the cracks in the earth would fill up with soil real quickly, and it would rain heavily. Then the rain would clear, it'd be sunny, and the trees had were growing leaves, and there was grass growing over the ground. And then I got off the swing and walked around. But I went from real intense negative emotions during the earthquake to relief, and I somehow felt it wasn't good enough, just relief. It should be joy, maybe. So, I did that for 2 days, and then I got miserable all day long. So I thought, this can't be good.
Okay, so do you think that instead of doing the visualization around relief, it should have been more around joy?
I think so. I think I need to tempt myself with the outcome more rather than just a relief that it's over. I'm not sure, but it's how it felt.
Quite interested in the relief, because it's like putting leaves back on the trees again, re-leafing the tree as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. it's actually a really good dream alchemy, but we will change it because it wasn't working for you. But it could be that you felt down after a few days because you were actually getting back in touch with the with some of the negative emotions before you were releasing them. You know, in the whole dream alchemy, you might have gone too quickly into positive reframing instead of allowing that release to take place. So there may have, it may have been working, and at some level, that release of the emotions was also transiently, you know, leaving your body, leaving you with that kind of feeling. But if you weren't feeling comfortable with it, we'll change it. And let me have a think. I think keep coming back to that fair, what has to be fair and not free falling. What has to be fair? The truck, the buses. Sorry, I'm being a bit slow here, but yeah, go on.
There's one thing I didn't even mention. As I was in the schoolyard, obviously I was standing on outdoor tiles, but they really kind of caught my eye. Square, grey, I don't know why.
Did they feel good, bad, ugly?
Neutral, I'd say.
Neutral?
Well, a bit boring, maybe, yeah. Maybe not use that at all.
No.
I don't like boring.
You like colour.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, this is such a tough one. I think a story, to write a little story. So only a couple of pages, no more. You could imagine it might be a children's story based on a fairground. But in this fairground, things are fair. They're not unfair. Things don't free fall. They work well. But there has to be a sense of... We don't want to go into free fall, but we do want to face the... So we want to transform the emotions, but we want to allow you to feel... Oh, I've got it. Okay, all right. So you write a story, and it's about a fair park ride. But this fair park ride is not one of those scary vertical ones. This is more horizontal, more like a merry-go-round going round on a safe circle. And it's got... It could have any number of carts on it, but it's definitely got three of them look like buses, the others look like carts, and they're all great fun, but one of them nobody sits in. One of them, its sole purpose is to process difficult emotions and let them go. So it's maybe got like a little funnel, like a choo-choo, the steam coming out the funnel, and it's the angry cart, and they might add another cart, which is the powerless cart. And you could add various carts to represent various feelings that you need to let go. And you set it all in a fairground, but it's a little story that you write. And it's about how important that the children come up to choose their rides. And a lot of them don't want to sit in the angry choo-choo train, or they don't want to sit in the powerless one, whatever. But they do accept that those carts are really important to the ride, and they have to be there, and they are expressing their feelings, and the children choose to sit in the other carts and have a really lovely time. And yes, they see the trees with the leaves on them, and maybe the swing in the sky and the other things that you mentioned, but they also acknowledge that there is a place for these other emotions, and that the more that these carts burning up the anger and letting the smoke out through their tunnels, or burning up the powerlessness and becoming powerful in its place, they are fulfilling their job of transforming an unfair situation into a fair ground situation, acknowledging that these emotions have to be there, but then once they are processed, they can be unhitched and go. So you can even, once those trucks have done their bit and processed their emotions and transformed the anger into whatever, and everyone's witnessed them and seen them at their work, then those carts get unhitched and left behind, and the rest of the show goes on. Something I want you to be creative with your with your story, but something along those lines. So what you're doing is making sure that there is acknowledgement of the very emotions that you haven't wanted to look at. How does that sound?
Difficult, actually. It's doable, but it sounds I should be able to do that, yeah.
Yeah, so the part of you...
Because I haven't written so far. I mean, I always do the visualizations.
Yeah, so it would be interesting to change it. And you can write it or you can draw it instead, you know, whichever format makes a story, or you can tell it as an audio story.
I think the writing is good. I like writing.
Yeah. And so part of you says it's difficult because it is. It's an interesting challenge, but that will get you involved. But part of you may say it's difficult because it's still looking at those emotions, isn't it? So this is a way of doing that.
Yeah. Maybe part of me just wants to still get away from it. Yeah. But if I do this, I have to really emotionally get invested in the story, I suppose, yeah?
Yes, you do. Yes, so you really want you want to be as excited for those carts that are processing the difficult stuff as you are about the happy carts. There's an emotional investment there, but I guess the emotion you want to transform at the end is rather than the emotion of blocking something and turning your back on it and positively reframing, you want to change that feeling of, I guess, denial into a feeling of acknowledgement and love at a very deep level, love for yourself and for these emotions, for what they, how they tried to protect you.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So compassion, empathy and compassion is what you're transforming them into.
Okay. Wow.
Okay.
And do I reread it?
Like yes, when you've written it and you're really comfortable, the best thing to do is to actually stand in front of a mirror and read it to yourself, because you are reading it back to yourself. Most of the alchemy.
Must I?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I will.
See, the mere fact that you say "must I" shows that that's where a lot of the alchemy is. And if it's a really, really good story, who knows, maybe one day you might feel comfortable enough to read it to other people.
Well, I don't know about that.
Okay.
I do this once, or this mirror thing?
Yes, just read it out once, because you will have spent long enough writing. And this isn't to be a work of great perfection. It's just, you know, no more than a couple of days,
basically.
Half an hour, yes. A couple of days. Yeah, it's acknowledging. It's allowing yourself to really find a symbolic vehicle, literally, for acknowledging those emotions within yourself and acknowledging that they are processed by getting the vehicles to be burning the anger or processing the powerlessness in whatever way they magically do that. You're doing that combination of, it's not an instant positive reframe, it's acknowledging the emotion, acknowledging the time for processing, and then at the end of that, the transformation, the letting go.
Okay. Great. Yeah. And okay. Will this make me feel, I'm really curious. I don't know. How does this usually work emotionally?
So while you do that, part of you will be feeling really excited because you know that you are working for a greater outcome. Part of you during the process may get a bit upset because you are actually getting in touch with these feelings. And that is the point where you remind yourself why you're doing the exercise. And it's touching them long enough to feel them, to maybe have a cry and to let them go, as opposed to what you said earlier, which is carrying the tension around you for potentially the rest of your life.
Okay, yes. That sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah. It's scary, yeah. But okay.
You can do it. We'll have to wrap because we're getting to that length of the podcast where it gets a bit unwieldy for people to download. So let me know how you go.
I will, and thank you so much. I'm really happy.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for bringing your dream and being open about it. For all of us, to help us all.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Dream alchemy is an exciting and sometimes very challenging exercise to do. Sometimes the dream alchemy that I give people is really, really simple and short and sweet. And sometimes it seems to be more complicated, but it's actually very exciting. And people can get very involved in the dream alchemy. And it's certainly transformative when you've got the formula, you know, right. And it's easy to get the general idea of dream alchemy, but really to create Dream Alchemy that works, you need to know how to do that. And that's why we have the course Dream Alchemy at the Dream Academy. That's dream-academy-online.com. And if you do that course on Dream Alchemy, it actually helps you to work through the details you need to gather from a dream and how to chart them and how to create the ideal dream alchemy for that particular dream. You know, on the dream show, I'm really on the spot thinking quickly, oh, what dream alchemy can we do? But in real life, we take a little bit longer to work that out and apply the various tools and techniques to get that right. So if Dream Alchemy interests you, you may want to go and do that course. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. We have been going for 12 years. There's a lot that you can listen to at janetheresa.com and on the various platforms. And if you'd like to be a guest on The Dream Show, go to janetheresa.com, go to the menu, go to podcast, and the drop-down box from there, you'll see Be a Guest on The Dream Show, which, of course, is something that you volunteer to do to help us all to further our understanding about how to interpret and understand our own dreams. The next episode of The Dream Show, episode 246, is due out on the 12th of August 2021, if you're listening to this in real time. Have a wonderful month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.